I think when we last left each other on Friday morning, I was talking about how disgusted I was, sad and disgusted about the latest school shooting in Texas. This morning with us on the air is Dr. Joshua Estrin. He's a leader when it comes to conflict analysis. And Dr. Estrin, good to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Certainly, I wish we were meeting under better circumstances.
Me too.
But a conversation that we seem to still need to have.
And that's the disgusting part to me, that we're still needing to have this conversation. You know, when we look at the whole thing in its entirety, of course, there are many facets to it what it takes for that kind of person to develop into someone who would go in to a high school with weapons. But that's that's such, it seems, a long ranging, issue to try to tackle when a lot of us are feeling at this point that something's got to be done right here and right now.
I would agree. I think there are certain topics that, of course, warrant discussion, but what we really want to focus on right now is keeping our kids safe. My area of expertise is in forensics. So, unfortunately, I'm there after the event has happened, and on occasion I get the opportunity to create plans with checks and balances so that things like this don't happen, catastrophic events. But you make an important point. And so we never want to shut anyone down from sharing ideas across the continuum of Second Amendment rights or mental health. But I think that we need to be having the kind of discussions that you're talking about right now. Where did the system fail? Where were the holes? And if you want to look at it like a big piece of Swiss cheese, where safety slipped through the holes. And what I find fascinating about this school shooting is that if we compare it to Parkland, we had in Texas law enforcement, for all intent and purposes, do exactly what we're supposed to do, what social security exactly was supposed to do, which was to respond actively and take their responsibilities of safety and security and activate them. And they were there. And I congratulate them for doing their jobs and putting themselves clearly in harm's way in the names of our young people. But what it proves to us is that there's no formula.
Yeah.
We have a Parkland where law enforcement made some mistakes. The checks and balances of safety and security are certainly questionable. I focus on the facts. I am not advocating for anything other than the facts. And then we have a Texas where it seems like all the checks and balances, at least with the law enforcement, were in place, and yet this young man was still able to enter the school and have two firearms that don't quite fit the formula either.
No, they don't. Shotgun and a 38.
Exactly. And from a human and health, mental health perspective, I'm a licensed psychotherapist, so I feel comfortable as an expert also talking about mental health issues. He didn't quite fit the profile or the stereotype of that child that's withdrawn, not involved, has no friends. And so it raises the question that I think many of us have already connected to, that there's no simple answer or no simple formula to this very complex but important problem.
Yep, and we get all that. We keep hearing it over and over again. Every time something like this happens, I'm hoping that there is something different about this circumstance in Santa Fe, Texas. Certainly the addition of, bomb-like materials found near the school and, nearby the school, and also bomb-making equipment found at the defendant's house are a little bit different and even more scary. The saddest part to me, Dr. Estrin, is that I heard one of the young people from Santa Fe High School talking after the fact, and she was okay physically. And people said, a reporter was saying to her, you must be in a state of shock that this happened. She said, no, I'm not. Not anymore. I, was wondering when this might happen at our school.
Absolutely. And that's why I believe that we need to focus on the nuts and bolts. So there are things that we can do to tip the checks and balances of safety towards keeping our young people safe. For instance, I'm not the first one to bring up the possibility of a more closed campus and single entry. These are things that we can do while legislators are doing their job, hopefully, and while we're talking about mental health issues. We know that, and probably people have seen them, whether they know what they're called or not. Doors where on the inside they have that bar across, the panic bar, they call it.
Yeah.
So that young people can exit the school safely in case of an emergency, but they can be locked from the outside to not allow anyone entrance, as was in the case of the Parkland, not this.
This guy was already in.
From getting in. So that raises a question. Then we have the question of young people who are part of the school community. This is not about stranger danger. This is about a young person who was a student there. Look, from an adolescent standpoint, young people make fashion choices all the time that we might not quite understand.
That's the law,
A young person who's wearing a trench coat in 90-degree weather day in and day out in an environment against the backdrop of what's happening in the country today, I would raise the question that, much like potentially see-through backpacks, it's not beyond reason to believe that school officials to say, hey, we needed to take off that coat. Because to be able to conceal a weapon of that size means that we need to start having discussions about other ways in which we can create policies and protocols so that we can do more. Are we ever going to completely solve the problem? I'm a left-brainer. I work in math and statistics, and statistically we're probably not going to get it down to zero shootings. But it strikes me, based on the facts, each time we have a school shooting, we see something unique slip through the holes, and we need to start having discussions about what we can do so that we can keep this from happening in terms of severity, the number, 10 this time, and frequency. Within the space of 30 to 45 days, we had a Parkland and now this.
Yeah, I know. So I understand what you're saying, Dr. Estrin, and I get it. It seems like we're, you know, going to have to literally fortify our schools in an immediate effort to try to curb or stop situations like this. I know that a lot of folks in Texas and the government there have already raised their hand and said, once again, we need to arm our teachers. And from every expert that I've talked to, this idea not only is not what most teachers want to do, but is fraught with all kinds of negative possibilities moving forward. So that doesn't seem like a very good idea either.
It doesn't, to me, factually, it doesn't seem viable. So I would raise the question, again, not taking away anyone's right to bear arms. Number one, is that what teachers were and are trained to do? And number two, if we look at training and we look at education, what's the arc of the learning curve here? How are we going to solve the problem? So I'm a realist. I deal in facts. I deal in numbers. I deal in how do we make our way over obstacles to find a solution? So I would opt for a closed campus, because what we're saying here is we want greater checks and balances so that we can control our safety and security. Our young people's job every day is to march off to school and be educated. And they have a right when they wake up in the morning to believe that the school that they're going to, their place of employment, pretty much, is going to do everything they possibly can to make sure that they're safe and secure. And so while we need to have discussions about all the options, and I think that when people have discussions and bring up things that they may see as a viable option, but when we play the tape through aren't, there's nothing to be lost in that because we're having a conversation. When we go silent and we base our decision based on anything other than the safety, in this case of our young people, any other agendas, that's when we're not going to find a solution. And so it just seems, as you said, wrought with a higher risk for increasing other accidents if we start arming our teachers. And
let's talk. Let's add to that, Dr. Estrin, since you're a facts and figures guy. Let's talk about, the obvious thing, gun safety in the home. You know, teenagers, you know, have a tough time. We've all been through it, and we know the kinds of ups and downs that teenagers go through emotionally and sometimes physically too. So the idea of having unlocked or accessible firearms at home during this very tumultuous period, that's just not smart.
Exactly, it's not smart. And I'm glad that you put it that way, because by saying that it's not smart, What we're basically saying is that we're increasing the risk for things like this happening.
Right.
And so no one is saying to an adult, you can't have a gun. But I think that we can say that when one takes on the responsibility of being a parent or being a guardian, that there are certain things that this person needs to do to keep a young person safe. And so when we look at the actual solution, I'm not going to tell you that this young man would not have had access to some other kind of gun.
Yeah.
But what we do is we decrease the risk. And we could have decreased the risk of this young man having the ability to do what he did simply if those guns were locked up and he didn't have access to it. We could have checked one possible scenario
right
off the list. And that's what we need to start talking about. And that's what we need to start doing, rather than, you know, having these circular conversations about issues, as you talked about in the opening of this segment, where we're not going to solve it anytime soon.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, it seems like while we're having these very high level discussions, we continue to have school shootings. And I don't think anyone, whatever aisle, side of the aisle they stand on, one thing it seems like everyone agrees upon right now is that we need change. We may not agree on what the change is,
right,
but we certainly all see that what we've been doing hasn't been working.
But I agree with you, you know, in terms of today, this hour, this moment in time, nuts and bolts in trying to figure that out is the quickest and easiest effect that we can have on this terrible circumstance. Dr. Estrin, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you. That is Dr. Joshua Estrin. He is a conflict analysis expert trying to get to the bottom of it, as we all are.